Cardinals and Johnny Peralta. You heard Mazalak yesterday. If you didn't, just a quick refresher. He just said they're not the morality police. And he's right. But it is, and it's not even the Cardinals that project that Cardinals way mantra. It's more of just fans, the entity itself. But it was definitely a risk. And one of the people I wanted to talk to about this is kind enough to join us right now on the people's phone lines. He is a writer for Sports on Earth. He was also the founder of Deadspin.com. Back here on the People's Show, his name is William F. Leach. Will, welcome back to the program. How are you on this Tuesday?
Pretty good. Thanks for having me. It's Thanksgiving Eve, so yeah. I'm thankful that we're only 2 days away from that.
Yeah, so where do you rank Thanksgiving as far as it's one of your favorites, I guess?
Oh, yeah, it's hard not to. I think that if you can, as long as you don't let the family at your family gathering get too large, you don't want to get too many cousins there. But generally speaking, I mean, this is a nice holiday because it's generally there are no obligations other than to drink and eat and fall asleep early and watch sports. As far as I'm concerned, it's a holiday that doesn't require, doesn't ask that much of me, so that's fine.
Yeah, it's kind of just the American holiday, really.
It kind of sums us up as a nation in ways both good and bad.
So before we even get into the Cardinals, there was something that you wrote that has to do with Thanksgiving, and it was just kind of a precursor for people, an outline to follow if they get stuck talking sports with people that don't actually follow sports at their Thanksgiving dinner. So real quick, what's just like one little tip you can give the people if they get caught talking about anything with aunt or uncle who really doesn't know anything?
Well, what really matters is that it's a strange thing when you're someone that really follows sports and someone doesn't. They always want to talk to you about the story that has crossed over to their world. Like this year, they'll probably be talking about Richie Incognito, would probably be the obvious example. This is a story that broke over to cable news. They have lots of opinions about it, even though they probably could not tell you who the Miami team is. So the key thing is to remember is they are acting like they know a lot, but they don't. And deep down, they're kind of looking for you to confirm or deny what they're already thinking.
Okay.
So the earlier in the conversation, you act like, oh, no, that's a good point. I agree. They'll just stop because that's the extent of the information they have. And then you can move on and get back to watching the game.
And this also aids in the drinking process, I would assume.
Without question. And the earlier you get to go to sleep, which is also, it's a, what, you know, people always talk about Thanksgiving, like, how do I talk to my relatives who have differing political views than me? And I feel like sports is a little different because sports, it makes it a little easier just because, generally speaking, there's a knowledge gap. And in politics, there's a knowledge gap and then nobody really knows anything. At least sports, some people know something.
Well, let's dive into the Cardinals. First off, just lay it out there for us. What's your reaction to the Johnny Peralta signing?
Well, you know, I think it's at least a year too long. I think that was my concern with the signing when it was first kind of tossed out. It feels like a long time for a guy that's already 31 and, you know, doesn't seem to have a particularly athletic body. I mean, compared to me, he does. But compared to other baseball players, he doesn't. So certainly I'm concerned about that. The money seems high, but you know, again, I think that when you consider the market, I don't think it's actually a terrible price, particularly because, you know, we kept talking, so many people, you know, you heard Mosaic talk about this, you know, every time he'd want to talk about, you know, J.J. Hardy or some of these other guys or Eric Ibar, they wanted Miller, they wanted Rosenthal, and, you know, and it would have been ridiculous for him to pay that. So, you know, I think for all the talk about, yeah, this seems like a lot of money in a lot of years, you know, I still feel like this is a better deal than giving away. Like, if you had this deal, but it was a little bit less money, and they had him under contract, and we were trading Shelby Miller or Trevor Rosenthal, that would feel terrible in a lot of ways. So, not to say that it's just money, because, you know, it's money, but certainly the one thing the Cardinals did seem to have, you know, this has always been the idea of the construction of the franchise, is, you know, build from within, have these cheap young players, and then top it off where needed with big free agent contracts. And I think that we saw here the benefits of that approach.
So for you, it's more about the actual deal and not about his past PED use.
No, not in the slightest. To be honest, I feel like it's a really kind of weird thing to get caught up on. And I heard an intro a little bit talking about, you know, the Cardinal way and so on. You know, the Cardinals have always been very open about the idea. The Cardinal way is actually a program that we put together that helps us get a better team. Like, that's always been the idea. It's actually a pamphlet. Like, it's actually like a binder. You know, the Cardinal way, this kind of weird moralist thing, is something that I don't know. I feel like that's something that other people in other cities and other media people have kind of put onto the Cardinals. They've attached that notion, I think partly out of jealousy and partly out of a lack of understanding. They've tossed this kind of moralist notion. You know, you saw this in the playoffs. You know, people actually made up something, or at least purposely misinterpreted something that Adam Wainwright said because it made the Cardinals look like fuddy-duddies. It made them look like these weirdly non-fun moralist guys. And they're not. That's not what this team is. It's not what the franchise is. So for me, you know, personally, you should know, too, that personally speaking, I tend to have whatever the minimum amount of outrage about PEDs in sports, I'm probably just a little bit below that. Like, I really feel like, you know, so much, I feel a lot of it is this weird moralizing. We inconsistently apply it. Like, some people really upset us, like Ryan Braun, and some people like Andy Pettit don't upset us. And we really don't, there's really no proof at all. I mean, there's no way to be able to tell what exactly PEDs do. So if you look at Peralta's bat, to me, the only thing argument against it, I can see bringing it up is, well, did those make him a better player? But if you look at the timing of it, there's been nothing like that at all. Certainly the time that he was busted for was right after his worst season. And there's really no real evidence that shows really what PEDs do in a lot of ways, other than maybe help people keep people healthy. So, you know, I tend to not get too worked up about that. Certainly many great moments in Cardinal history have been involved either on the Cardinal side or on the other side, a PED user or abuser. And to me, you know, I'd rather not cross out. You know, I'm a fan. I enjoy my team. I enjoy watching baseball. I'd rather not cross out retroactively all these great moments in my history because someone may or may not have had an advantage. They're probably not, but I just feel emotionally that they did. So I try to stay out of that stuff, and definitely in this regard as well.
What do you make of the Borges signing as well, then? He was actually on Hot Stove on MLB Network this morning, and he was very excited to not face the young arms the Cardinals have. But what do you make of him just from everything you've read and everything you've watched over the last few years?
Yeah, I was pretty elated. You know, I like it when the one criticism of the Peralta sign that I definitely understand, you're definitely buying pie on Peralta. You're definitely getting him. Like, there's no way, it's hard to think of any other year, any other time that Peralta could make more money than this. He's the top of his market. Really, with Borges, you're buying low. You know, they don't really have a spot for him. There's been some frustration with him, and he's had some injuries. So to me, this is, to give up, listen, I love David Freese. Everybody loves David Freese. And when he comes back to St. Louis, we're all going to give him a big ovation, which is kind of amazing because we'll be giving him a bigger ovation than his teammate, probably, when that happens. Which is kind of amazing to think. Not to say that people will be booing Pujols, but I think Freeze will get a bigger ovation. And, you know, certainly no one has a down pop for Freeze. But, you know, if you look at the Cardinals in the playoffs, one of the things I love about Mosaic and I love about this front office is that, you know, there's been so many years in the past where it seemed like the Cardinals had these obvious holes, and they wouldn't fill them, or they filled them with this veteran guy that seemed to be buddies with Jocini or La Russa. Here, if you watch the Cardinals in the World Series and the playoffs this year, there are three very obvious holes in that lineup. Third base, basically late in the year with threes, center field, and shortstop. All three of them were fixed basically in like 48 hours. And that's so in a really smart way. And particularly, the thing that worried me about Jay this year was not so much the hitting downturn, but, you know, he was really down defensively.
Yeah.
I think Bernie Miklas had the great line of every time there would be a fly ball out there, it felt like Jay was doing like a GPS, recalculating. And you sense that a lot. Borges isn't just a good center fielder. He's a great center fielder. And I think we're going to notice that real quick, particularly if there comes a point, as it looks like it's going to be the start of the season, where we're going to have Holiday and Lefty Craig and Wright. You need a really, really good center fielder for that. But I think he resolves that problem. And in the worst-case scenario, if it turns out Jay can play center field a little bit better, we have a great bat, a right-handed bat off the bench, which is something the team has sorely needed as well.
So if you had if you were Mike Matheny and you were filling out that lineup, where do you put Borges, assuming he's the starting center fielder? Are you keeping top of the lineup? Or are you moving him down?
Oh, yeah, I'd actually bat him eighth. I actually feel like that's the logical place to do it. I'm not sure he gets on base enough to be at the top of the lineup. You know, a lot of this comes down to Wong. You know, I know there's a lot of Cardinal fans that one of the things I love about my father, who's a big, big Cardinals fan, he doesn't really pay a lot of attention to the minor leagues. He just kind of watches what these guys do. So I really have had a really hard time explaining to him that Wong is actually really good and can really hit. So I look forward to him proving me correct and making me look smart next year. Because I feel like if Wong can hit the way that he's shown the minor leagues, the way the organization clearly thinks he can, he's a perfect number two hitter. He's a contact guy. with speed and a little bit of pop. He's a perfect guy to put there. If you put him there, you can put Borges, put him eight, which I think is a good spot because they, you know, like having speed in that eight spot changes a lot of things. And so I feel like we get took up. We're Cardinal fans. We love the 80s teams. We'll always see a fast guy and be like, yeah, put him first. You know, 80 pieces. But really, I feel like Borgia, to me, you know, we saw last year that Carpenter batting first was the thing that really kicked this team into gear. I think you have to keep him there. To me, it comes down to if Wong can hit, you can bat him second, and it allows you to put Borgia's eight. It makes that lineup that much tougher, pretty much top and bottom.
Yeah, that's an interesting take because you're the first person I've heard to say it, to spell it out that way, with Borges batting eighth and then putting Wong at second. Based off of what you think then, off of Wong's performance in the minor leagues, what can Cardinal fans realistically expect, assuming that he stays healthy and plays 130 or 140 games?
If he stays healthy and hits 280 and gets on base at 325, 330, and steals 30 bases and plays what? Pretty exceptional second base defense, and I think that is wonderful. I think that's a floor rather than a ceiling for Wong. You know, he's got a little bit more power than I think that he's has a lot more everything than we've seen so far in the major leagues. He's certainly got off to a bad start there, but there's been no doubt. Like, you know, it's not like he has hit at pretty much every level. You know, and it's not been like he's been able to hit the breaking pitch. He's certainly been able to get around a fastball. He just kind of got in a weird funk when he kind of got there in September. It's strange to think that if he would have hit, the Cardinals came within two games of winning the World Series. And like, so it's not like Wong really cost the Cardinals anything. And you wonder.
But he got picked off, Will. He got picked.
Oh, yes, right. Cut him. I think so. That hurt. That was frustrating. I don't think there's any question about that. But the idea that, like, he really, like, if he hit the even half as well as he did in the minor leagues, we would all be, no one would have even slightly worried about anything else involving Wong. And one bad month in the major leagues is nothing. People had, like, look at what Beltran did in August. Like, you know, a lot of these guys really struggled just for months because it happened. But for me, having Wong, I think you certainly have to give him a short leash. Otherwise, if he starts the way that he ended last year, okay, yeah, then you have to give him some other options. But listen, almost everything, if there's one thing this Cardinals front office has proven, it's that when they trust young players to perform, as they clearly have with Wong by trading away Freeze and saying second base is basically his, they do. And to me, that's what the real Cardinal way is, the idea that there's a way that they're trained, that there's a way the organization does business, and they really put these guys in a position to succeed. And what they've done, the fact that, to me, I trust his minor league numbers, but more than anything, I trust that Mozeliak trusts him. At this point, that's probably enough for me.
Yeah, I think he's earned the benefit of the doubt at this point. Will Leach joining us from Sports on Earth. You can also just go to the Will Leach Experience. You're still doing the podcast as well. I assume people can just follow that and listen to that on iTunes. Is that correct?
Yeah, you can just type it in iTunes and subscribe right there. That's certainly the easiest way to do it.
And because, as you've said, pointed out before, there's just not enough outlets for people to get Will Leach, so that's another...
Exactly, every direction. I'm actually in right behind you right now, just ready to feed your opinions about sports. I'm everywhere you look.
Beautiful. Hey, you mentioned Beltran in the month of August. Currently, he's kind of on the radar of the Yankees. I guess anybody really is on the radar of the Yankees if they feel like paying. Good fit for Beltran, assuming that it goes through if it happens.
You know, theoretically, though, you know, he did not have the best time with the Mets. I know the Yankees and the Mets are different fan bases, but you know, I just moved out of New York. And, you know, I worked in New York for New York Magazine for 6 years and followed the Mets and Beltran pretty closely. You know, he was very unhappy in New York, and pretty much from the beginning, he had like two pretty. He had 2006 was an incredible season for him, but really. People never really got over that strikeout. They really did. The Mets never did. You know, they're kind of a fatalistic fan base anyway. And also, it's New York. And New York is the type of town where, you know, if you make one mistake, I'll put it this way, Colton Wong is a lot better off having that mistake happen in St. Louis than if it would have happened in New York. They would just never let him forget it in New York. And so, yes, the Yankees are still, you know, they're not the Mets. They're a better run franchise. They're better positioned to succeed. But those are still, like, think of it this way, Carlos Beltran has been beloved and terrific and just the most popular guy among the fans and the team and everyone, and an incredible hitter pretty much everywhere except for when he was in New York. And it was really not a fun time. You know, after a while, there was In 2008, I think there was a time where he had a grand slam to take the lead in the eighth inning, and fans, like a few fans, called for him to come out and take a nod. He wouldn't because they'd been so brutal to him for 5 years ago. So certainly, I know that the Mets and the Yankees are different franchises, but I don't know if I'm Beltran. I think about the places that I've succeeded, St. Louis, Kansas City, Houston. I feel like I want to maybe look there. If depending on how many years he can get, I know obviously he's been leaving. He's looking for a little more money and looking for a little bit more years. But man, the experience in New York was not so pleasant last time, and it was so pleasant when he got to St. Louis. It's kind of surprising that he'd want to kind of get back on that train a little bit.
There's an article from Ken Rosenthal, and obviously he's entitled to his opinion as well as everyone else is, but he's basically has recently written that with the trade that the Cardinals made for Freeze and Borges, that it might not end up being a win for the Cardinals. Did you view that trade as a win for St. Louis?
I do. I actually do think it's a win for St. Louis. I don't think it's necessarily a loss for Anaheim, though. I mean, certainly you can make Freeze is not as young as we think he is, just because he's come around so recently. We think of him as younger than he is. But I think when the Cardinals, they have that position filled as a cheaper thing, so it made sense to do it. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like, going back to what we said earlier, center field was a problem. And I said that as a big fan of John Jay. To me, John Jay has always really been a fourth outfielder. It's like that's his ideal spot. You put him in center if you need to. He played great defense there 2 years ago, but otherwise he's not always been known as just exclusively a center fielder. So I feel like he's the type of guy as a fourth outfielder. But a lot of it really comes down to that notion of the Cardinals are slated to have Craig in right field, Holiday in left, and then Tavares, whenever he comes in, maybe you try him out in center, maybe you put him in right, put him in left here. Also, the point is that you don't know exactly where he's going to be. You have an unsettled outfield situation. You need Borges to kind of come in and settle that down. I think Cardinal fans are going to be kind of blown away how good his defense is. Like we see, we see the highlight plays. There's a famous highlight play. It's very similar to Mike Trout.
The Southwest Airlines,
where he jumps over the wall. And that's a great play. But really, Borges' strength is, like, he is, he is getting jumps on the ball. It's very Andrew Jones-like. It's more Andrew Jones, actually, than Jim Edmonds, who I think people will love to compare because of that trade. I feel like that actually, he is the guy that, like, when the ball's off the bat, you're like, oh, man, that's a double. We're no one's getting to that. And then Borges is already halfway there before you even notice that the ball's coming in his direction. He's a great jump guy. He's a great conditioning guy. I think the Cardinals are going to be pretty elated to see how different their outfield defense feels now with him as in the field.
Yeah, he talked about that earlier today as well, about how he loves playing shallow. So we're going to see that for hopefully a lot next year, assuming he stays healthy. Last question for you, and it's actually a two-headed one. Number one, do you think the Cardinals are done making moves? And then number two, they've got a surplus of pitching. So what pitcher, if any, is going to be moved? And that can kind of be part of the same question, I guess. But those are my two things for you.
I don't think they're going to move any young pitchers. I think if they would have done that, if they were going to do that, they would have already done that. It's hard to see what kind of piece is out there that they need so desperately now that they would give up a young pitcher for. If they weren't going to give up a young pitcher for, say, Hardy, or which I think was really or maybe Ibar. I don't think Ibar was really ever serious. But the Orioles wanted so much for Hardy. If the Cardinals weren't going to make that trade for Hardy, it's hard to see how they'd make that trade now. As for things that they might need, I still feel like, we saw how thin that bench was in the postseason. A lot of that was because, how Tavares was hurt, and a lot of these guys you thought were going to be on the bench were there. But, I really feel like that is still the main thing that I'm a little worried about, is that bench. You'd like to get particularly a right-handed bat off the bench because you're still primarily left-handed. And when it comes to starting rotation, I think it's a major question. Who's going to be in the rotation? It feels like, obviously, Wainwright's there. Obviously, Walker's there. Lynn's there. I think Garcia has to be there. And to me, the fifth spot, it's going to be Shelby. So, like, those five, I think, are pretty clear stars. What do you do with Carlos Martinez? To me, I feel like maybe that he isn't the eighth inning guy, particularly with Mott coming back. I could see them actually putting Martinez. What if they kind of screwed up a little bit with Martinez last year? He never really just got stretched out as a starter. I'd like to see him maybe do that. It makes sense to me to put Martinez starting in AAA, and he is your next starter guy in there with Kelly as a swing man in between. That seems to make more sense. There is space for all those starters. I don't see them possibly trading him now.
Okay. Well, that makes sense, because I was just gonna ask you, what does that leave for Joe Kelly? But if you're thinking Carlos Martinez starts in AAA, that I kind of like that plan as well. I'm with you. So
yeah, because I feel like that was the thing, is it looked like they were starting to build up to that last year. I think in July or August they put him in AAA, and I felt like, all right, now they're building up to be a starter. Turned out they were building up Waka to be the starter, and then Martinez was gearing to be the great eighth inning guy that he was. I feel like maybe Martinez is a wonderful pitcher to have in the eighth in the postseason. But during the regular season, it feels like maybe like a little bit of a waste, particularly when you have Mott coming back this year, who I think we've all forgotten how great he is too.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun. And you pointed it out when you joined us during the World Series. The Cardinals are almost a year ahead of schedule with what they did this year, so the sky should be the limit, assuming that they have good health. Will, we appreciate all the time, and enjoy your Thanksgiving, and make sure that you avoid any political arguments with aunt and uncle.
I can't guarantee anything, but I promise I will try. Have a great Thanksgiving, guys.
All right. Thanks, Will. That is Will Leach, Sports on Earth. Go there, read his stuff. He's got a good column up right now talking about tips for talking with your relatives who don't really know anything about sports, how to respond. And as always, he is full of Cardinals knowledge.